Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joins us. Hello there, Eric.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm hoping next year's better than the last, for Christ's sakes.
Jesus. You know, the more I think about that song, I think, you know, the lyric, like, the smell of hospitals in winter.
Yeah, I know. I was listening to it today.
It's all out of oysters, no pearls. I'm like, geez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did the Counting Crows know all those years ago?
Well, they knew that they could play every hit that they had at about 30 beats per minute live and still make money at it. It's amazing.
There you go. Perfect.
Anyway, you're just catching me as I'm ironing my Colt McCoy jersey. just got it out of the wash. Dusted that one off.
Yeah, how about them first place New York football Giants?
Listen, I don't want to brag, but we are the only first place team in the NFC East with an actual moniker.
That's right. So, who are you going to cheer for, Giants or...
The Giants or the Washington football? If you can't even get it out, it's
right.
Like rah rah Washington football. By the time you can't do it,
no,
can't do it. So I think the writing is on the wall, in every way possible. But I mean, listen. On a serious tip, they are easily the most put together football team, looking football team in that division. So I think I it could be worse. I mean, I could be a fan of any other team in that division and definitely be feeling worse today than I do.
Yeah, so I'm with you on that.
Yeah, you know, I'm like, you know, the every team has ups and downs, you know, and the Patriots fans know this, of course, at the hands of the Giants. Just to rub that in, but I mean, you know, it's like you gotta suck occasionally in order to be good, unless of course you're some of the teams like the one that the Giants just beat who suck all the time, and thankful we are for all of that. 4 wins, baby, it's the key. But hey, I hope everybody's well. I did want to point out, and I'll try to throw this in at the end, in case people hadn't heard, we are, at least for the time being, at Bangor Wine on curbside only. The reason being, I'll just be honest, the COVID has just spread far and fast. Fortunately, I can report that my family has all tested negative, but there's colleagues of colleagues, etc., family members on secondary and tertiary circles that are all testing positive now, and frankly, we just want to be safe and do the right thing. So anybody trying to shop from us, and thank you indeed for doing that, please do know that for at least the next couple days, until everybody gets their test results back and we know the score, that's what's going on. So let's dive into South Africa. We're here in a new month, and so we talked about South America last month, and this is sort of our month to kind of catch up on everything, and it's a shortened month, I think, in a lot of ways, in terms of Tuesdays, etc. So we're going to try to, we'll cram everything in. South Africa. South Africa is kind of crazy. It's like one of those places that's either the newest old world wine region in the world or the oldest new world. I don't really know. It's certainly the oldest geologically speaking, which is really kind of fascinating because, of course, over time, Mother Earth gets gnawed and chewed and stuff. And so there's more weathering in the South African wine regions than you'll see pretty much in any other part of the world, which is really fascinating. Of course, that's not only, it's revealed diamonds, fossils. I mean, it's the source of a lot of, I suppose, ups and downs for that part of the world, for better or worse. So, like I said, you've got granite, sandstone, shale. These things are great for vines. Obviously, they naturally strain the vines, and vines like that. It gives them vigor. But of course, not just vines. I mean, the biodiversity of South Africa is incredible. It's extraordinary. The wine regions are actually located, as they are in so many places, in parts of of the region that are not really great for other agriculture necessarily. Again, because, of course, you want your vines to struggle as opposed to being, you know, in super fertile soil. And for that reason, most of the well-known regions are located in what they call the Dovelt, which is near Cape Town. If you can sort of picture the bottom rounded rim of Africa, Cape Town kind of sticks out. There's a little peninsula just on the western edge of that little circle, and that's really where they get it's called the Benguela Current, and it comes up from Antarctica, and that cools that whole part of the South African coastline, which makes it naturally drier, which is nice for no lack of fungal and infections and things like that, as well as moderating the temperature for the vine. So it's extraordinarily good vineyard land, and it's nice because, frankly, a lot of it you can't really use for much else. You can't really talk about South African wine without talking about the fact that from, I believe it was 1948, something like that, to the early 90s, there was essentially a white supremacist government running, what we know now as apartheid, which basically kept the 80% sub-Saharan ancestry of South Africa under the boot of the white government. This not only impeded black business growth, but also there was no women in the wine industry. It was like a closed door. The wine industry itself was run under the government auspices by a thing called the Cooperative Weinbauers Vereniging. I always screw that up because I don't speak Dutch, I'm totally blanking on what they speak in South Africa, the formula of Dutch. But anyway, it's known as the KWV, and it was a co-op, but basically it was a government, run house that basically over time, because the policies of apartheid were not particularly popular in other parts of the world, they kind of closed themselves off to international commerce, and therefore the wines that the wine growers were making were not necessarily designed to be attractive on an international marketplace. They didn't have to compete. They're basically made to drink in country and get you drunk. That's nice, but it wasn't worth anything. And bear in mind, of course, as we've talked about, in every wine region known to man, once people from Europe came there, the wine started coming very quickly after. So, of course, the people are always going to want local wine, but there was, again, no incentive for them to make anything good. But, of course, that's all changed now. It's one of the more extraordinary turnarounds in wine culture. Right now there are whole, micro-regions in South Africa dedicated to natural wine production that doesn't involve the heavy use of oak, that doesn't involve the major international varieties of Cabernet Merlot, etc. They're really trying to focus on the grapes. Yes, they are European in nature because that's where vinifera comes from, but that are much more suited to the South African climate. So you do have Shiraz, you also have Sasso, you have Chenin Blanc, you have Viognier, Tinta Barroca from Portugal, just whatever happens to actually grow well there, because, of course, it's not Europe. So it's a fascinating, wonderful place. So do check the wines from there out. I know I'm running short on time, so I did want to remind everybody, going back quickly to Europe, this Sunday, December 6th at 5 p.m., we have our second virtual tasting with Michel Dupri, who is our featured winemaker for the holiday season. So do either online or curbside, pick up a four-pack of the Michel Dupri Reimagining Bordeaux Tasting Kit and join us either Sunday or whenever is convenient for you, because the video will sort of be saved and replay and go through these wines, because they're really extraordinary. And it's frankly, especially with the everything shutting down again, it's going to be one of the only ways that we can sort of interact. Michelle is a wonderful young lady who is making extraordinarily good wine. So please do join us for that. And do please remember that we're doing curbside. So join us find us on our website, Facebook, or call us for service at the store. And hopefully everything writes itself sooner rather than later. Vaccines start flowing and everything is normal within, say, 5 days, 6 days.
Yeah, that would be great. And you and Summer will be on tonight at 6, right?
That's right. My gosh, yes. There's so many things to talk about. Yes, 6 o'clock tonight, we will be doing Destination Downtown Bangor, as we are a Summer from Valentine Footwear and I are doing every Tuesday. Today, we're going to be joined by guests from the Discovery Museum, as well as, I don't even remember where. It's that crazy of a day. But it's going to be fantastic, no matter who our guests are.
Check it out.
Okay, yeah, it was a huge fail. I'm sorry.
No. I had it, too. I had it, too, and I lost it because I'm that way.
Okay, good. See, that's good. I'm so glad. Hang on. I'll stall. I'm going to sing a song. It's Julie from Mexicali Blues.
That's right. That's
Julie. Right. So we're going to learn all about what Mexicali Blues is during this, as well as the Discovery Museum, which obviously a lot of us parents are super curious to hear what they are doing and things that can perhaps entertain our children, because right now several of us are having to entertain our children full-time and we're not very good at
it. Turn that over to the professionals, yeah. Right.
This is what I'm saying. So join us tonight at 6, please, for that on the Downtown Bangor Park Facebook feed.
Excellent. Eric, thank you. Go Blue, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Thank you, gentlemen. Good night.
Eric May and Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Message in the Bottle, here on Downtown.